good. And I know he's being bombarded by needs right now, and it's supposed to be. But we want to throw up some praise on August 11th. So I'm pretty excited about that. More information will come out as we get closer to that. Also, I know that there's some things that come out from our governor today. We're going to follow what we need to follow there. I know that there's going to be a church piece separate a little bit, be part of those things, but they always come in a couple of days later. I've already got the little contact pieces, but we just need to wait and see, but be obedient. We're supposed to listen and do what we're supposed to do. So if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in the book of Daniel. This one's not being videotaped tonight. Alex is trying to catch up on some, and they can take mine and just put it on the put this message on the website. So we'll put a post on that they can get off the website if they want to listen. Just not going to be able to watch tonight, so we're trying to catch up on some things like that. So this service tonight's going to be this message will be a little bit different tonight. Maybe not as strong on preaching, but more on teaching. This is one where you want to. This has got a lot of nuggets in it. This has got a lot of details in it, and this is one where sometimes people go, "I wish we could get a little deeper." You know, I think God's word is deep anyway already, but this one might be a little bit more in that way. What I want to share with you is God's word is a love book. It's about God falling in love with the people. Most people don't love him, but he loves them. He can't help himself. He loved us so much that what? The Bible says he gave his only son. We're that lost. We're that far away. And through Genesis to Revelation, we see this, we can call it a drama. This drama of life. We're the ones that make it dramatic. And the sense that we see the sense of God's people coming to God, awesomeness, falling away from God, coming back to God, falling away from God. And we see this awesome love piece of God giving his son Jesus Christ and the promise of the banquet and this whole big piece about the second coming, the rapture, the number of the beast, and all the stuff in Revelations and Isaiah being prophesied, all these things coming to pass. And it all entangles itself. If you try to look at a bowl of spaghetti and you go, okay, what noodle does that go? And it just intertwines, but it's still part of the bowl. It's still part of the meal. And tonight we're going to look at something probably 99.9% of you probably not have looked at. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 1. But the things that I'm going to go to, this is going to be more of like a study piece. This is going to be more of a place where you're going to hear something, it might click for you, but if you don't take notes, you're going to miss a lot. And you're going to say, what did he say? Because this is an important piece. Because I want you to know that God's people at this time, the king did not want to listen to the prophets. God spoke to the prophets and told them and said, listen, you need to buckle. You need to get right with God. Well, they chose not to get right with God and continue to follow these other gods and do their own thing. And God says, the prophets, we could say, God says you need to get right with God. Okay, here it is. All right, so here's what's going to happen. There's going to be an army coming from far away, and they're going to come, and they're going to take you over. Oh, we're going to fight them. I mean, good stories out of Jeremiah. We're going to fight them. We can win. And the prophet says, if you're going to fight them, you're going to lose. You're going to be annihilated. So some of you, you just need to give up. You need to go into captivity. Sometimes we think that's not a good thing. But the Bible does says God disciplines those whom he loves. God doesn't say things just for us to hear it. Some things we're going to experience. Some things we don't have to experience, but when we do the wrong thing, we experience them. Okay? We experience the circumstances, the outcome, the consequences of our choices. And what we see here is we see that people were brought into captivity. Now, I want to go into Daniel chapter 1, and things are going to come into place here, and they're going to tie into some things that maybe you've not heard of, but we're going to go into some things. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. He took over. All right, we're going to camp here for a while. Sounds weird, but we're going to camp here for a bit. And it just seems like it's an intro of what has happened, and it is. But I want to share with you that Babylon is a city. It's not a nation. Catalina, okay? Chaldea is the nation. All right? So we understand that. So Babylon, so Nebuchadnezzar is king of, he's the king of the city of Babylon, but it's from the nation of the Chaldean. Okay? Now, names mean something. Okay? In the Bible, we see Emmanuel, God is with us. We see that names mean something. Ichabod, God has left. Okay? There is a meaning to names. All right? Now, if you looked at Biblical Dictionary, exhaustive Biblical Dictionary, some of you, you guys know, some of you may know, that this name Chaldean means demons. Okay? A people of occults, robbers. So they have a name. They have a name. Now, if you go back to Genesis, they are mentioned there. Abraham was born a Chaldean. Okay? He was born in that land, in that country. Okay? He was born in that land. And God was going to work with him, but God had to pull him where? Out of it. Okay? He had to pull him out of it. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Let me read verse 5 through 7. Then he brought him outside, that being the Lord brought to Abram outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. So he brought him out of the Chaldean land. It's important. God's going to pull him out. God's not going to do a work there. God needed to pull him out of there. They taught some things that were crazy. Okay? Listen, what does that name mean? Demons? People of the occult? Okay? So we see that Nebuchadnezzar was a part of that. Okay? So sometimes when we just read that first scripture of the beginning of books, we need to really dig in and see what is happening there. Also, we see also in the book of Job, in chapter 1. I want to turn there for a minute and read one verse, because I don't want to just say it. I want you to hear it. In chapter 17, what we know is that Satan went to the Lord and said, hey, man, your servant Job, you put a hedge around him, and if he took him things away, then he cursed your face. And it says here in Job chapter 1, verse 17, while he was still speaking, another came to him. So these people are coming and reporting to Job what has happened. He says, the Chaldeans formed three bands and raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Chaldeans were there. Satan used, because listen, Satan went and spoke there to God about Job. Okay. And when he was able to do what he did, Satan chose the Chaldeans. Why? Because they work the same types of work. That makes sense? So Satan chose the Chaldeans. These are some bad, I mean, this is some tough, pretty strong, dark people in the sense of what they do. Okay? Now, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 1 tonight. But if you look over in Daniel chapter 4, we know this is their land. But I want to read chapter 4 to you just for a minute. Chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in and told them the dream. This is about the dream that the king had. So they assemble the same type of people together. One is the astrologers. They look at the stars and the signs and those things in the sky to tell you, listen, you don't need to look and know your astrology or your horoscope and stuff. That's a bunch of hogwash, all right? That's the work of the astrologers, magicians. They do one thing in one hand to try to trick you and deceive you in the other, okay? That's what they're doing, their magic, all right? And then you got the soothsayers. They're all about telling you the future, their future fortune tellers. But the Chaldeans are more about the demonic. They get in touch with the demonic. So I believe the Chaldeans are the worst of the bunch. They're the worst of the bunch. Then we look over in Habakkuk, that little book, Habakkuk, with three K's in it. I want to read to you what the Lord says here about the Chaldeans. For indeed I am raising the Chaldeans up. Now the Lord's going to use, he's going to allow the darkness to come up, rise, teach his people a lesson. Okay, this, and so this is what we learned about the Chaldeans. He says, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They rob. They take things that are not theirs. That's, the word means robbers, right? They come and take things that are not theirs. They dwell in places that are not theirs. They just don't come and take things. They dwell in places. They sit in the spot around the corner where nobody pays attention. They kind of do this number and kind of do this number, and they weed themselves, they web themselves right in to where authority is to take over. And then it says they are terrible and dreadful. There's nothing good ever said about Chaldeans. Nothing. It says they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed for themselves. Their horses are also swifter than leopards and more fierce than the evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. You know what that means right there? They fly as eagles that hastens to eat. You know when birds hit car doors and hit windows? When they got their eyes focused on something, they laser in, and that's all they see. That's all they see. They have one purpose. Focus, go. And that's what they do. They all, here it is in verse 9. They all come for violence. They're not there for peace treaty. They're not there to talk. They come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princesses are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Then, so what they do is they annihilate. Wherever they go, they annihilate if they can. But then verse 11, then his mind changes. Now some versions will say then his spirit changes. And he transgresses. He commits offenses, ascribing this power to his God. So what he's saying is his mind changes and he transgresses. Whatever he, if he's talking to anyone, he made deals or whatever, they break them. They break them. Their word is not worth anything. I'm telling you, sometimes you've got to read different versions just to get it. It says the mind changes, but there are some versions that says that his spirit changes. And then the last part, he commits offense, ascribing, he says he commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. His God is his power. The strongest, they just worship and they serve and they just don't talk about it, they live it out. They're very dominant people. And we see here now, in verse Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, in the third year of the reign, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, as we've read it again, think about these people besieged Jerusalem. Now you see what kind of people came into God's city. But God allowed it because God's people chose to turn their backs on God. Does America really, do we really feel like we deserve God to come and save us from all this stuff we're going through? Right now we have an enemy that we can't fight in the flesh. This is not like World War II. This isn't like Vietnam. If you know your Bible, you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and you'll learn a little bit about who our enemy is. That it's not about flesh and blood. But this enemy comes in and he completely takes over. And there is nobody as big as bad as King Nebuchadnezzar. He is not, see, there's a difference. There are those type of people that can manage. Okay, there are those type of people that can manage things. But a person who can build, there's something different about them. Not that it's a bad thing. People build businesses and there's just different things. Sometimes you go into a church and there's church planters and they can be able to build churches and ministries. And then there's church pastors that they can't do that. They come in and they manage. This is not a manager. This is a takeover. This is a man who wherever he puts his feet, he takes over. He is building up. His kingdom is big. In fact, when you read a little bit longer, he comes out on his palace. He goes, man, I am someone. I am God. And God just, uh-oh. And then you'll see another what happens to him. King Herod did the same thing. He stood out in the front in the book of Acts. He comes out. He says, wow, people think, oh, he's a God. He's a God. He comes, I am God. God struck him. Angels struck him right there. He was done. Listen, you would think, why doesn't God take care of his people? God takes care of his people. But listen, you blaspheme God, you better step out of the way. When you hear people blaspheme God, you better step out of the way. I'm just saying. I've seen enough through Scripture where men would blaspheme God, and most of the time, God would take them out. There's even scriptures we can't get into tonight, but there are some demons that did some things, fallen angels that did some things. We were talking about that the other night. They did some things so vile that God has them chained up ever, forever. They're done. They are not allowed to be released and do their evil works. They are chained up. They did some things. Weird to me to hear how gullible and how prideful and how dark that Satan himself is to go. And as the angels gather themselves in the book of Job, and he has this attitude to speak out against God. You just wonder why God didn't just strike him right there. But God has a purpose. God has a purpose. God doesn't always take out the enemies when we expect him to or when we want him to. But don't forget, he has a day of judgment. Don't forget that. But God's people right now are in a place where they need to learn a lesson. They need to learn, remember who their God is. Now, this is in the beginning. This is after the third year. They've been in this thing 3 years. So, now let's go to verse 2. That's a lot for verse 1, isn't it? I got to speed. I'm not going to finish this. And the Lord gave to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar and the house of and in the house of God, and brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Did we not say that Chaldean's name means robbers? They stole two things. They stole two things. Let's talk about what they stole. They stole two things. One, they stole the articles of God, the tithes and the offerings and the gifts that were given to God. That's a no-no, but God allowed it to happen. But that's what they do. They robbed and they took it. They took that stuff and they put it in there. They put it into their temples of their gods. Okay? Now we can get into some other stories in the scriptures where that happened and other times. Awesome things happen. But that's not what we're going to tonight. So we need to know this one thing that they stole the things of God. Let me tell you, if the enemy comes in and, this is what happens when we see like what happened in Germany. Germany had churches all over the place, but they were all taken down. They were taken over. They stole everything out of the temple. Now, God allowed it to happen. But remember, they're going to be held accountable for that. They're held accountable for that. Listen, no matter what you do or what I do, God sees it. What you do in open and what you do behind closed doors, God sees it. Everything that's been hidden, God will expose it. Okay? So, we know that he stole those things. The second thing that he did, then the king, in verse 3, instructed Asphanaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Of the Chaldeans. What is it? What did he steal? They stole the next generation. They stole the young generation. We're going to teach him new ways, the Chaldean ways. They're going to educate them in their customs. They're going to learn their language. They're going to be groomed. They're going to think and act and serve like a Chaldean. My goodness, is there any hope? I mean, you look at it, it's just, who is in the midst of this? Satan is in the midst of all of this. Satan is always trying to bring, he's always trying to bring God's people down. Let me tell you, he will not give you a moment of rest. He will not give you a moment of rest. And don't you think he ever will? I'm glad we're not videotaping. Okay. I'd usually double tie those things. Anyway, Satan will not give you a moment of peace if he could. He won't. He will not give you a moment of peace. He wants to annihilate you, destroy you, and take you out of commission. That you end up in the same place that he's going to end up. And if he can't do that, he's going to wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your life. So what they did is they began to take these young people. And what is it? It's all about the worldly and the flesh. They had to be good looking. That's what the world teaches. Got to be good looking. Got to be educated. Got to have some ability and gifts. Got to be able to do something. And they're going to teach them. Okay? They're going to teach them. All right? Verse 5. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies. They were able to eat the king's type of food. Going to come in and you're going to act like us. We're going to treat you like us. You can become like us. And we're going to feed you well. Where you don't want to rebel against us. Where you don't want to not be with us. Where you're going to be out with the rest of them out there. The rest of your people. And of the wine which he drank. And 3 years of training for them. So that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. 3 years of training. Man. That's a lot. And imagine these type of people. If you messed up on how you walked across the room, they were going to take you out back if you messed up too much. Get somebody else. This is almost a survival of the fittest, you know, and what we see. We see some other scriptures coming in here. Let me tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that is not their original names. Okay? That's the names that they were given. Okay? It says, to the chief of the eunuchs, gave names. He gave Daniel the name, and we see Belshazzar, and we see all of them getting new names. Okay? But in verse 8, so they're in a 3-year training for all this. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God is working in all of this. In the midst of the evil palace, God is working. He purposed Daniel in his heart not to take a part, be a part of that destroying the temple, violating the temple, okay, the body, okay? Remember, this is the time of the Old Testament. These people ate everything. Right? Chaldeans, they eat everything. There were some things that God's people were not supposed to eat. There were things that God's people were not supposed to do. So he purposed in his heart that he didn't want to defile himself. So now God brought David into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So God was working there with Daniel. Daniel, with good favor and goodwill. We see that same kind of peace in the story of Joseph. Okay? We see that with some other individuals. We see these things. And so we see the conversation. He says, let me just go ahead and read this real quick. In verse 10, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are of your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So this chief of eunuchs is saying, listen, I know my people. If something's wrong, you're going to take my head. This isn't about chastising, discipline. This is, they just take you out and replace you with somebody else. Then we see how angry that they get with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that? That's a little bit later. How angry they got with Daniel. Okay? Who was always behind all that? Get him, get him, get him. The Chaldeans. So, verse 11. So, Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Down to verse 15. And at the end of the 10 days, their appearance, their features appearance better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. I'm wondering if they did that to everybody. I believe they did that to everybody. It's like, where do you take my good food away? Right? But here it is. We see God is blessing them in a time of trouble. Pay attention. If you don't miss anything tonight, you catch it. This is what you want to catch. During any time of trouble, keep your eyes open. Keep focused on God. God still blesses in times of trouble. Do you not know that God's blessing a lot of churches right now? Churches are half full or less than half full, but yet their finances and are able to keep their doors open financially. And we are one of them. Our ministries, we weren't able to have our spring banquet, and we raised $35,000 through some mailing and some phone calls, mostly mailing and mail outs. Just people, God touching people. It wasn't really what we did. God just touched people. God was blessing. So God blesses through times of trouble. Don't forget that. Yes, you may be going through times of trouble, but keep your eyes on Jesus and you will see the blessing and you won't miss it. Daniel kept his eyes, and I think he kind of did one of these to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And there were four of them. He says, please test your servants. All four. It's what he said in verse 12. Test your servants. Not just me, but all of us. That's four. So don't keep your eyes. Don't just look at the problems we're going through right now. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This is how I'm keeping my joy. I called a pastor today, was pretty excited. He said, man, Jimmy, you're excited. I said, listen, I'm still serving the same Lord as I did last year. You know what? When I'm going through a time of trouble, guess what I get to see? I get to see him move more. Because in my trouble, I have a tendency to look at him more. And when I look at the Lord more, I'm going to see more from him. Not that he's doing more, it's just I'm more focused on what he's doing. Come on, amen. I know we're small tonight, but amen. All right, so God is blessing in those times of uncertainties and then when we're in trouble, okay? So, I really got to go. Okay, verse 17. As for these four young men, now listen, they in this thing together. I like to say it a lot. We in this thing together, so don't be bowing out when it gets rough. These guys are in this thing together. Now, Daniel wasn't always able to be with them in the future, but these three were always able to be together. We don't know what all it was, but they just had different paths, probably in different buildings. Daniel was more closer to the palace. He has other guys were there, but they weren't always there. And we see stories about these three guys in the fiery furnace, but we see Daniel in specific places. And here it is, they're together. They're together. You know, sometimes when you're going through trouble, it just always feels good when you're somebody else and you're sharing the trouble together. Okay? All right? And God strengthened us. He says, God gave them knowledge. Now, what do we say? As of for these four men, God gave them knowledge. Now, they had knowledge, but he gives them more knowledge now. Wow. When God gives you something, it's big. They got knowledge. Not too many times in Scripture do we see that God gives knowledge. He gave Solomon, King Solomon, knowledge. That was super big. But he gives these guys knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. So they knew about, they were just smart guys. But they weren't just smart, they knew how to use the smarts. That's the wisdom, when knowing what to use and when not to use it. And these guys were some guys you just want to rub up against and learn from. And you feel kind of dumb being around them because of how smart they are. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So Daniel had something extra. He was able to interpret dreams and understand visions. Because we see in Scripture that that's going to be a very important place. For a few spots. in the near future. So God blessed. These men were more blessed during the time of trouble than they were. We don't hear from them beforehand. They were people coming out of Jerusalem. And God's going to use them in a mighty, mighty way. Now, is their faith going to be tested? Oh, yeah, it's going to be tested. This is going to be tested big time. Sweating and praying in a den of lions in the dark. Fiery furnace. Let's just take a moment, think for a second. All the stuff they learned, all this gifts that God's given to them, it's got to be tested. It's got to be tested. This church has got to be tested from time to time. Your faith has to be tested from time to time. Imagine three guys going into a fiery furnace. The first part of it is they're walking into the furnace, and everybody around them that walked them in, they're already burned up. And all of a sudden, they know each other so well, they walked into captivity together, they served together under three-year training, and now they're doing their things together, and they're putting it, they wouldn't bow together, they did all this stuff, and they're in the furnace together, and they're going, we hear the king say, who's that fourth, right? But we don't hear what's going on in there, but you know what they're saying, oh my goodness, he is with us. Because I know you, Shadrach, I know you, Abednego, and they knew who he was, because you know, as a believer of God, you know his voice. And they knew who he was, because the lost man even said, that is the Son of God. It was revealed to him. They already, and they knew it. So these guys are awesome in a time of trouble. But they're smart in literature and wisdom and knowledge. And then Daniel gets the gift of understanding all visions. And the Bible says all visions. But he struggled a little bit in Daniel chapter 10 and 11 with that big vision of the return and the rapture and the end times. But he knew. And an angel came also and worked with him. Now, verse 18. Now at the end of the days when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The 3 years are done. They've already been filled up with all this knowledge and strength and giftedness by God. And they're brought in to serve the king. How can you serve the king, yet you serve God? God makes a way when there is no way. You understand? You can't do it without God. You cannot do it without God. Some people during World War II, the Jews would run and try to hide and run, and they did. It was what we would all do. But many of them, most of them, were caught and put to death. And the tragic, or put on a train, put them in concentration camps, and be burned alive. Many prayed. This is a horrible time, and you wonder, where was God in all that? Let me remind you one thing. Everybody that was involved with that is accountable to God. Just as you and I see each other, as fresh it is fresh to God. Years does not get you out of something. Oh, that was 500 years ago. When we stand before God, our life will be before Him, and we will give an account. But you can only do it. With God. And yet God still has to make a way. And just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, and if we burn up, we burn up. We still serve God. We're still going to believe in God, right? Now, verse 19. Then the king interviewed them. Wow, what an interview that must be. Here's the thing. They were smarter than he was. They were smarter than he was. If you got smart people, what do? And he said, then the king interviewed them, and among them Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, I'm just going to say Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. There was nobody like them. Of course not. God bless them. People that are blessed, that walk around you, you see it. And you want some of that. What do they got? They're walking in blessing. What do they got? They got the Lord, and they're letting the Lord work in their life. Amen? Let me caution you. Don't be jealous of what God's given to somebody else. Be happy for them and talk to God about yourself. Because God has something for you too. In verse 20, and in all the matters of wisdom, all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, the astrologers who were in all his realm. Of all his realm, not just the city, but all of his realm. And Nebuchadnezzar had a big realm. Okay? So they were better than all of them. And if you got somebody that's better, where are you going to keep them? You're going to keep them close. The Chaldeans are going to step up here in a little bit. They're going to get their nose involved with some things. There's going to be some dreams and visions brought up. There's going to be this big old statue that they're all supposed to kneel to, and they wouldn't do it. And so they're going to be tested. But I remind you, even when you're blessed, testing doesn't end. This is why Paul said, finish the race. Finish the race. Finish the race. Are we in hard times right now? Folks, this may be light times compared to what's around the corner. I don't know, but I know this. This is what gives me joy. I belong to the Lord. Nobody can touch me unless God allows it. And that sounds a little cocky, but I want to tell you, God is who he says he is. He created the earth, the universe, and all things that are in it. The Bible says that he names the stars. Actually, the Bible talks about some stars that have names. In Revelation, there's a star named Wormwood. There's all kinds of stars, and they all have a name. Don't you think God can take care of you? The Bible says no one can snatch them out of his hand. Nobody. You are in the hands of Jesus. You're in the hands of Jesus. And if he does call you home, amen. I'm excited about living, and I'm excited about heaven. I want to enjoy this life that God's given to me, because I believe life is a gift that God gives to us. But also know this, just because we live in this world doesn't mean, and we have Christ, doesn't mean life is going to be all great. We live in a broken world because we're broken people. We've just been fixed by Jesus. We've been healed by the Lord himself. We need to keep that in perspective. Keep things in the right perspective. God is God, and there is no other. I am his creation. I may go through hard times and troubles, but I know even in those, I can be blessed. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. If you want to give praise to God tonight in a way that whatever fits you, you can do that.